listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Got a voicemail message recently from my friend Edgar just the other day, and it sounded something like this. Dan, how you doing, buddy? Been a long time. He's a friend from college, so we hadn't talked or seen each other for a while. Been a long time. Things are good here, you know. First world, baby. I got first world problems. Anyway, I hope you're doing well, and we'll chat sometime soon. Love you, man. Bye-bye. I've been chuckling and thinking about his message, especially the first world part this week. And I think about it today as we revisit and are reshaped by this beautiful Zacchaeus story on this All Saints Sunday. This Zacchaeus story is about Christ's transformative forgiveness and self-invitation. I think it helps to start all that from Edgar's angle. First world, baby. In other words, it helps to start by realizing, if we're honest, being here in Northern Virginia, we're all up in the tree too with Zacchaeus. First world problems. In other words, can't get a view that's quite good enough. So we climb up a little bit more. I remember we did some painting at our house a number of years ago in California. And I'm thinking, by the way, too, about maybe giving the pastor's study here at church an accent wall with some color. Talk about first world problems, you know, painting. Like, what color are we going to make it? Because I'll buy the color. It looks good at the store. But if I bring it home and put it on the wall, I might really not like the color. And I get really stressed about that kind of thing. That's a first world problem, right? That's a first world problem. Come on. I imagine you can argue at some level, you know? I mean, it does have an impact on your mental health, I guess. That's a first world problem, though. We're up there with Zacchaeus, friends, looking down on the rest. Maybe we haven't intentionally defrauded anyone quite like that dirty little tax collector, Zacchaeus. I mean, he was a bad guy. He was ripping people off. Maybe we haven't intentionally defrauded anyone quite like him, but we are all broken sinners. And those of us in the first world have certainly squandered more than our fair share of resources over and against our neighbors, sometimes totally unknowingly. I remember the first time I learned about carbon footprint. You know, you can take these tests and find out what your carbon footprint is. It's not pretty, just for eating a hamburger. I mean, if you don't know about that, ask our kids. They know about this. The carbon footprint of just a hamburger, not to mention driving a car or flying in an airplane. And the resources, of course, are limited. We're working from a pie graph here. So when I take something, someone else is not getting that. We don't always think like that because we're so high up in the tree. We've all defrauded or cut ourselves off from the rest. Maybe we're pretending not to see it, or maybe we're just not caring. Who would have thought that falling short of the glory of God meant climbing high? But we've got a perfect visual here this morning of this, with this story of Zacchaeus, the one who climbed up high, got above all the rest. I took a picture yesterday. I wasn't at the Nats parade yesterday, by the way. Woo! Nationals, did you know that they won the World Series this week? Captain Obvious wears white, so. Yeah, I know. It was tough. Anyway, we'll talk about the game later, but I was so happy about this. I was watching the parade yesterday, and there was a picture of some people climbing up in the tree in order to see the parade go by. I was like, oh, that's perfect for our text here today. Not only are we separated and isolated from other parts of the world, friends, but we are separated from each other. We know that we need each other. We know that we are meant to be together. We hear these themes and messages all the time in church. But somehow, for some reason, we still want to climb that tree above all the rest. It's natural. And so we are I think, tried to get both in our culture. We've tried to both stay connected and also rise above the rest because we have invented something called the internet and Facebook. Then maybe we can have it all. We can stay connected and still rise above the rest. Have that glorious treehouse up high and still a connection. But of course, that's not a real connection, as you know. That's not sharing a meal in a home together. Write a paper this week about the difference between spending an evening alone on Facebook versus an evening at a dinner party with some of your favorite people. I mean, these are not the same thing at all. It's an okay view. It's okay to stay by yourself one night and be online, but that's not the view that we have today. When Jesus then comes up to the tree, Jesus walks into town and stops at the foot of our tree, and then our view gets even better. It was an okay view up there, but Jesus calls us to something new. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God didn't create us to live up above the rest or apart from one another, isolated. That's what this text is about. God made us for community, both in our neighborhoods and across the globe. Community is at the heart of this passage, and Zacchaeus is being restored to the community in this text. He has defrauded so many people. He has isolated himself by his own doing in many ways, and maybe something, you know, just was taught that that's what you're supposed to do, get up above all the rest. Anyway, he's not with the rest. He's not with the community. And so this text is about the restoration of community, and that is at the heart of his salvation. The word salvation also comes from the word healing. Salvation has come to this house today, Jesus proclaims. I've been trying hard not to talk about baseball all through this season, but, you know, that parade was really moving for me yesterday, particularly Davey Martinez. Was anybody there? Anybody go down? Okay, did you see Dave Martinez walk along the street, the manager of the Nationals? He got off of the bus, which was like they were riding up high. Nice image there. He gets out, and he walks along, and he greets the people. I even saw him, like, kind of let himself back like this into the crowd so people could take selfies and stuff. I was so moved by that, and then I was really moved. I didn't think I'd have this reaction, having grown up, you know, rooting for other baseball teams over the years, but I just fell in love with the Nats this year, 100%. And when Davey said, we're worried about his heart all through the year, and he said, everybody's worried about my heart, and he said, you know what? Did you hear him say this? He said, all of this that you see here has healed this heart. It's a beautiful thing to say. What a wonderful sentiment that the community has brought healing. It's a powerful image. I wasn't even going to share that. Even with all our defrauding one another and grumbling about each other, we are meant to be together. God made us for community. God made us for each other. And that's at the heart of salvation. Salvation is not just for you to get across the finish line fine, for getting all the rest behind you. No, salvation, friends, looks like a dinner party. Sisters and brothers in Christ, Jesus walks up to our trees again this day, looks up at us, and calls us down to each of us. We can all get caught up there. Not because of our first world problems, but because of our human problems, our pride and our self-centeredness and our fear. We can retreat up the tree and want to live out our days up there. But Jesus, friends, walks up to our tree and says, come down. In fact, what he says is, hurry and come down. There's not time for you to linger up there. Come down now. Come down, Jesus says. What are you doing up there? What are you doing locked up there, apart from the neighborhood? What are you doing walking on other people's backs? Come down from there. Jesus gently calls us down. Not with a lecture about wealth and poverty and money, or a guilt trip about our first world problems, but with another surprise. Here's the shift in the text. A self-invitation. He just invites himself to your house. I'm coming to your house today, he says. This is biblically sanctioned intrusion, by the way. If you're wondering, should I be just barging in on a friend? Well, Jesus does. I'm coming to your house today, Jesus says. Didn't see that one coming, especially Zacchaeus. He's a bad guy. And Jesus just going to intrude. Come on over. Like later in the gospel, by the way, in John's gospel, Jesus does the same thing. He says, do you have anything to eat? We're not taught to do that kind of thing, to just intrude, go asking people for food. But here Jesus is doing it. So go over to a friend's house this week and ask him for something to eat. I'm coming to your house today. I saw it in the text. Our Lord lovingly intrudes, and in so doing, empowers even the most unlikely of characters, the tax man. Even you, even me, all of us called down, called out, called down, called back to earth. This story is amazing because the order here, Jesus didn't offer forgiveness and salvation, and then Zacchaeus comes down and invited Jesus over to celebrate that. No, first Jesus just invites himself over, tells him to come down. First there is the intrusion, and then Zacchaeus makes this incredible statement. First there is the grace, just Jesus entering in. And then Zacchaeus makes this incredible statement. This is not an exaggeration. Half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. Imagine that. And if anyone I've defrauded, if there's anyone, I will pay back. I won't just pay back. Four times I will pay back that person. Talk about a restoration back into the community. Jesus didn't ask for any of that. He didn't ask for any of that. But Zacchaeus couldn't help himself, having come in contact with Christ's presence. He had been flung by God's grace right out of that tree, and he just went crashing into a new life of radical generosity. And that's when Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus has been restored to the community. He's coming back down to the earth. Maybe there should be a St. Zacchaeus Lutheran Church. I'm always thinking of new church names. I don't know why. We're declining in number. But I think we could start some new churches. St. Zacchaeus Lutheran Church. How about that? Why not? Because Zacchaeus was one of those turnaround saints. He didn't spend his whole life being holier than the rest of us. No, he was probably worse than the rest of us. But he makes this radical, radical change. In some ways, it's way more inspiring than all those saints who are always willing to share what they had in radically generous ways. Zacchaeus let himself be flipped. Cold turkey, from incredibly stingy and conniving to radically merciful and generous. Saint Zacchaeus on this All Saints Sunday. How about Saint Zacchaeus? Jesus is so bold, sisters and brothers in Christ, that he invites himself into our homes. I don't know about you, but my home is a mess right now. With all the busyness of October and into November. I don't know about you, but my workspace is a mess right now. The last person I would want to invite over is Jesus, but we don't get to invite him, actually. He just comes. He just invites himself. This is where I struggle to understand some of the language of some of our siblings in Christ who say all you have to do is invite Jesus into your heart. You know, he invites himself, ready or not. And as a result, everything changes. This is grace. This is God's arrival. It turns our lives around, not through guilt or shame about our first world lifestyles. It's love and relationship that changes our ways, not lectures about our self-centeredness and isolationism. Do you see? It's grace. It's love that brings us down. It's love that brings us down back to the community to share what we have. Salvation, friends in Christ, comes to your house this All Saints Day as the bread and the wine intrude, as the rainwaters of our baptism cause us to slip right out of the trees of our self-congratulatory exploits and carry us back into the muddy village, back to the table, back to the messy community. It was a bird's eye view of Jesus that we had from up high. It was a bird's eye view. But now, thanks be to God, we're sharing a meal with him. Now we're across the table from Christ, and therefore from each other. So now everything changes. Amen.
On behalf of all of us, us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.